The other day, we looked at Romans chapter 8, where Paul comes to that place of wretchedness in Romans 7 and says, there are two things he says. One, Romans 7:18, I know that nothing good dwells in my flesh. What does he mean by saying nothing good dwells in my flesh? Now we can think of many aspects of the flesh. There's nothing good dwells in my flesh means all types of dirty thoughts and dirty language and all that. But that is not what Paul is speaking of here. Sometimes we read one sentence and apply it ourselves. Let's read, like I always say, read slowly, but read in context. Read what comes before and after. Okay. First of all, Romans 7:16. First of all, I agree with the law, 16, confessing it is good. I agree that God's standards are the best for me. But in my flesh dwells nothing good, verse 18, not talking about dirty thoughts and bad language. Here is the thing that's dwelling in his flesh. I wish to live this life, but I can't do it. The wishing is present, but the doing is not. That is what he says is nothing good in my flesh. He's not talking about dirty thoughts. He's not talking about bad language. This wretched thing that the flesh wants to do something but can't do it. Again, it wants to do something but can't do it. Do you understand Romans 7:18 now? In my flesh, nothing good, meaning I want to do it but I can't do it. Paul said that's his first confession. Then he goes on in verse 24 to say, when I'm such a wretched condition that I'm in, how will I be ever delivered? Who will set me free? Who will bring me out of this wretched thing? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, Romans 8, verse 2, another law, praise the Lord, another law from the law of Moses. The law of the Spirit. The law of Moses is law. The law of the Spirit is grace. This is the difference between law and grace. And you go back to Romans 6:14. Sin shall not, promise, not should not, sin shall not rule over you because you're not under the law of Moses, but you're under the law of the Spirit now, grace. And he says the law of the Spirit, verse 2, is life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit was a written code of commandments. That's the law of Moses. 613 commandments in the Old Testament. We can say that was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Murder, evil. Honoring father and mother, good. Adultery, evil. And keeping the Sabbath, good. Taking God's name in vain, evil. Accepting God alone as the true God, good. It was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Offering sacrifice for your sin, good. And many other laws, you know, evil. And now we come to grace, which is the tree of life, where Adam could have just reached out and taken that tree of life. This is different. This is the difference between law of Moses and the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit is the law of Moses symbolizing the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was a big tree of 613 things you should do or not do. Now we come to the tree of life, which is the life of Christ. There are no laws here. It's life. And he says, this law of the Holy Spirit, contrasted to the law of Moses, the life of Jesus has set me free. That other law could never set me free. I try to keep some commandments, can't keep some, then some I keep, then afterwards I can't keep. It's an endless life like that. But now the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. It's so different. It's so different. You've probably heard me, I've used the example of leprosy many times. Because in the Old Testament, leprosy, there's the whole commandment on leprosy in Leviticus chapter 14. Leprosy was a picture of sin in the Old Testament. is one of the one sickness in the Old Testament that is to characterize sin. So there were laws for the lepers in the Old Testament. There were no laws for people who had tuberculosis or cancer, things like that, but leprosy. Because that was a picture of sin. Because it was very obvious, the result of it in a person. You could see a person, there's a leper. You can't look at a man and say, that's got cancer or he's got tuberculosis. But leper was obvious. So leprosy is a picture of sin. And you've heard me use this illustration, and I like to use it because it's very relevant to what I'm just saying. What happens to people with leprosy is gradually they lose sensation. You get a little patch here, and you don't feel anything there. You poke it, you don't feel anything. Sensation is gone. And the thing about leprosy, like sin, is it spreads. It doesn't stay there. It's inside. It goes into different parts. You know, it's not leprosy that eats away your nose. You don't feel sensation, and because of that, gradually you can get injured and all, and you can't do anything about it. Like you've heard me use the example of the leprosy person who was sleeping at night. In the morning, he found one of his toes missing because a rat had eaten it. He didn't feel anything. That's how bad lack of sensation can be. That's why pain is the greatest blessing in the body. Because pain immediately tells you something's wrong. A mosquito is there. Or a rat's biting you. Or pain is a blessing. If you didn't have pain, you'd lose your legs and all types of things. And internally, pain is a blessing. It indicates something is wrong. So leprosy, person loses that sensation. So when people lose sensation, they can touch a hot plate and burn their hands again. Lose their toes at night and all types of things. So they have to have a lot of rules. People make rules for people with leprosy. When you see a hot stove, don't touch it. Check whether it's on or not. Check with something else whether it's hot. Laws. And when you go to bed at night, check your feet if there are any thorns there. How many of us check our feet at night if there are thorns there? Nobody? No need to. You know why? Because you've got life in your feet. That poor leper doesn't have life in his feet. Because he doesn't have life in his feet, he needs a law which says, check up in case some thorns got into your foot while you were walking this morning. So he has to check up underneath his feet, are there any thorns there? See the difference between law and life? Law is a struggle. You've got to always check. Is this, I don't have sensation, so I have to check this, I've got to check that, I've got to check so many things that I don't hurt myself. But when you have life, even a mosquito sits somewhere in your body, you feel it immediately. That's the difference between law and life, the tree of law and the tree of life. And, you know, Adam, like a fool, tried to live under law, and that is how most human beings live. And even after being born again. But the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. But this is not automatic. Because in that day, Adam could just reach to the tree of life and eat it. But today, the Bible says in Genesis 3, that in front of life, in the front of the tree of life, there's a sword. After Adam sinned, there's a sword going round and round and round in all directions. You can't get there. Before Adam sinned, you could reach out and take it. But after sin, when Adam got this thing which we call the flesh or the self-life, the only way to get to that tree of life is to let the sword fall on our flesh. If you accept it, you can get to the tree of life. And that's where the Holy Spirit helps us.